This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
Hello guys, welcome back to the Eat Like Ruby podcast. I am back in studio today by myself with a solo episode. I'm actually going to record two episodes at once and one will come out obviously right now as you guys are listening to it and the next one will come out next week. And the reason I'm doing that is because I'm going to cover two topics, but obviously quite similar: nutrition for beginners and nutrition for advanced. And what I mean there is I literally just put it out to my Instagram. If you are a beginner, what questions do you have? What topics do you want to hear about? What do you want more info on? And then same thing, if you're advanced, what questions do you have? What topics? What info? And it's funny because some of the questions actually intertwine. Like people think they're a beginner, but then they ask questions that advanced people are asking and vice versa. So there's no like technical thing here. So if you are listening thinking, oh, I'm advanced, like the beginner stuff probably doesn't apply to me, it actually could. There could be stuff that we cover that you don't know. There could be stuff that we cover that you just get more info on, or you even just get confirmed that you did know. So I think there's going to be quite a cross between the two, even though we are sort of going to divvy it up. So today will be more of the nutrition for beginner. Next week will be more nutrition for advanced. I think, like always, I'm just going to go for it and they're definitely going to overlap. So we'll see where we end up. The one thing I wanted to say before we get started, guys, is I have been getting so many people reach out to me about the podcast and about YouTube, whether it's like online in my DMs or literally people walking up to me on the street or in the gym. And it is so awesome. Like, I love this so much. And I just wanted to let you know, if you're someone that's done that, like, I appreciate it so much. If you do see me, like if you literally see me on the coast, at the shops, in the gym, whatever, please come up. Like, it honestly makes my day, because I don't think people really realize when you do a podcast, like you literally sit here and talk to yourself. And then you're just like, is anyone actually going to listen? Maybe one person will listen. Maybe 1 million people will listen. Like, you just don't know. So to put time and money and energy and all of the things into a podcast and have no idea if it's landing or not is really bizarre. So when people do just come up and let me know, it truly does mean so much. So if you see me, please come up and say something. Or if you are listening to this and you like follow me on Insta, send me a DM, like tell me that you like it. Tell me what you like, what you want more of, all of the things. Like, I literally do this for you guys. So I want to know, I want to hear from you. Just flood my DMs with all of the feedback. I want to hear it. And if you do love the podcast and you get something out of it, make sure you take the screenshot, put it on your Instagram stories, because like I said, literally this is why I do it, to spread my info, spread my education and help people. And the more people share it, the more their friends see it, the more you refer people to it, the more we can do that. And then the more that I know people are loving it, the more I'm going to do it. And it's all going to go full circle. So please just keep spreading the podcast love is really the message here. So in today's ep, like I said, we're going to start with the like nutrition for beginners. There was so many questions, like always, so many questions. And often they're really similar, like they'll tie in or they'll overlap, or it's sort of like you're asking a few different things, but it's quite on theme with something someone else asked. So I'm just going to try and cover as much of it as I can. I'm not really going to do it like a Q&A vibe. Like, I'm not just going to read out the question and give the answer. I think I'm just going to kind of roll with nutrition for beginners and sort of reference back to the list I've got here as we go. The first thing I want to speak to here is a few people simply just said like how to get started. And the one thing I love to point out here is, I don't even know if I've said this on the podcast, but if you've been in an Eat Like Ruby program, you would have heard this. If you've been in a masterclass, you definitely would have heard this. But we are going to be eating for the rest of our lives. Like, you are going to be eating every day until you die. And I think a lot of people don't actually acknowledge that. And that sounds quite full on, but it's one of those things where it's like, oh, well, no duh. But also like, fuck, I've never thought of that. And the reason I say this and the reason I bring this up is I think people either A, like get into that mindset where they do something with nutrition or training and they're just sort of like, oh, I've just got to get through this 8 weeks, or I've just got to get through this program, or I've just got to stick to my diet this week. And again, it's like, if you're going to be eating for the rest of your life, you don't just have to get through this week. You just have to get through your whole life. Like, you need to start thinking about it on that level. And the other thing that I like to point out here is, like, if there is something that you are going to be doing every single day until the day you die, surely it is worth knowing that you are doing it right. Let that land. That should be such a no-brainer. And I think a lot of people don't really let that fact sink in and take that in. And so we see things like nutrition programs or coaching or all of that. And, you know, people sort of say they don't need it or they can't afford it or they won't do it right now or whatever. And it's like, what is actually more important than knowing that you are doing something right for the rest of your life? Like, if you're going to get up every day and do that, you have to eat. And it's not like, I'm such an advocate of training and I think people should have structured training and that's a whole nother convo, but you don't actually have to train. Like, if a person doesn't go to gym or a person doesn't train, obviously I'm an advocate for it, so I wouldn't advise that, but you actually can live a life without training is what I'm trying to say. You cannot live a life without eating. So you need to know how to do it. Like, I can't say it any more clearly than that. So when it comes to, like, how to get started, I think people need to be open to investing on some level, whether it's investing money, time, energy, whatever it is. You don't have to spend thousands on anything. You don't have to spend years on anything. But I think you've got to invest something to just get to a point where you feel like confident and in control of your nutrition and your health and your body. And I could speak about this all day because obviously for physical health reasons, that is huge. But for, like, mental and emotional health, if you are a female listening to this, and I know males listen too, but I predominantly work with females and I know a lot about this with the female mindset. If you are a female who feels like their mental or emotional health is negatively affected by your nutrition, you need to invest time, money, or energy, whatever it is, into changing that. So we know that obviously physical health is affected by nutrition, but I think people disregard the real impact that it can have on our mental and emotional health. And if we think about what I just said, feeling like you have the confidence and the education to control your nutrition, health, and body composition is an absolute game changer. And I've probably spoken about this in ways on the podcast before, but if we just tie in everything that I've just said, if you are in that mindset of, like, just got to get through this week, or, like, it's, you know, air quote, it's not worth investing in learning about this, you're essentially saying it's not worth, like, my mental, emotional, and physical health are not worth it. And I just blatantly disagree with that fact. I think we need to be looking after our physical health, our mental health, and emotional health. So really have a think about that. If you're somebody who listens to this or you follow on Instagram or whatever, and you feel like you genuinely do not know how to structure your nutrition in a way that you feel confident, educated, and in control, if you feel like you are a victim to your diet or your body composition, and it's quite a negative thing there for you, it should be a no-brainer to invest on some level to just get to a point where you change that. And I think this is probably even where the beginner and advanced thing comes in, because if someone is advanced, they've done that and they've gotten through that initial phase, and then they're like, okay, I love this. I love nutrition. I love training. Like, I want to keep investing time, money, energy, whatever it is, to keep progressing, to keep learning, to take it to a new height, all of those things. We know I'm all for that. Like, I love that. That is absolutely my jam. That is very much me. Equally, if that's not someone's genuine interest, that is okay. But I think you need to then bring it back and say, like, okay, maybe I don't have a huge interest in nutrition and training. That's totally fine. But I am a human being that is going to eat food every single day for the rest of my life. So I need to invest to an extent to do that well. So that is the first thing I'll say. And obviously, like, I do the podcast and we do all the things to try and give out that education and give out those resources. But there's a difference between getting things for free and learning things for free and actually making a bit of a commitment and an investment. And I think there's so much to be said about that, and I'll try not to go too off topic, but anyone could Google free meal plan, and there's a reason that you don't. There's a reason people aren't Googling the words free meal plan and sticking to a meal plan for the rest of their life. There's no investment. They haven't made a commitment. They haven't actually stepped up, crossed the line and said, I'm going to invest in a way that I've got to commit to doing this thing for a while. Keep that in mind. Like, it is awesome to listen and to watch and to take it all in as much as you can. But I think on some level, we've got to actually cross that line and make a bit of a commitment to learning these things on a new level. But I'm going to try and help as much as I can today after that little rant. So a few people ask, like, in a lot of different ways, like, the main things we think are essential in a diet, the main things we should look for when tracking our food. Somebody said, like, struggling to hit standard adult nutritional goals while managing calories. And I think they mean the same thing, like struggling to hit certain macros or micros or whatever while managing my overall calorie intake. So I think the kind of gist of all of those questions were just like, okay, if I'm managing my nutrition, what should I actually be looking at and how do I look at that? So we've spoken about this in so many episodes, especially when we first started the podcast, like just about what is flexible dieting and what is tracking nutrition. But obviously, the number one thing when it comes to controlling weight and size and body composition is calories, energy balance. Like, we actually cannot lose weight if we have more energy coming in than going out, and we cannot gain weight if we have more energy going out than coming in. So calories are king when it comes to fat loss, muscle gain, losing weight, gaining weight. It cannot happen if we don't get the energy balance right. So energy balance meaning calories out versus calories in. So if you are somebody who's like completely getting started and it's like day one, that is the first thing we want to look at. Like, you want to get an understanding of like, what is my goal? Am I trying to drop weight or gain weight or maintain weight? And then therefore, what is the energy requirement of that goal? How many calories should I be eating? Two other like main things I always tell people to look at is protein and fiber. So getting enough protein and getting enough fiber. A few people asked about how much protein we should be getting, like in a lot of different ways. People said, what's the minimum protein? What if I have a lot of weight to lose? How much protein should I be having? So there's a lot of questions about protein. What studies tell us is technically like most optimal to maintain muscle mass or gain muscle mass. And when we think about that, like, quick little side note, we're not talking about like bulking up, putting on crazy muscle. I'm talking about being lean, being toned, like having that ideal look everybody wants with a nice little amount of muscle. To maintain that and to optimize that, whether we're in a deficit or whatever, is technically 1.6 to 2.3 grams per kilo of body weight, which sounds a little bit confusing. But if we do the math, so let's say for myself, who's about 60 kilos, I'm literally whipping out the calculator. So we would go 60 times 1.6. So the minimum that I would want to eat is 96 grams. The max is 2.3 times 60, which is 138. So technically, for me, it'd be like optimal protein is between 96 grams and 138 grams. When we start to crunch all those numbers and everything, it can get a little bit confusing. So for the sake of being easy, we normally just say double body weight. Because if we think about that sweet spot between like 1.6 and 2.3, it's pretty much two. So if you just go two times body weight, 60 kilo person, 120 grams, pretty spot on. What I like to point out to people, and when people join an Eat Like Ruby program especially, usually protein is something people struggle with. So I bring it down to that minimum requirement. So like we said, we know if we can get 1.6 times body weight or more, then we're good. We're in the optimal range. I personally, like, if you're listening to this and you've been in an Eat Like Ruby program and you're doing the maths, the calculator in Eat Like Ruby is 1.7, because I feel like, let's just make sure we hit that optimal range. If we have it at the very bottom of optimal and people fall a little bit short, we're going to fall out of optimal. So what I'm trying to get at is the calculator in Eat Like Ruby is 1.7 times body weight. And that is the minimum we want to get. If you've been in an Eat Like Ruby program before, you will know we set a minimum protein target. So I don't give my girls an actual protein target, like go off and hit 120. I say to my girls, minimum, let's say for me in that scenario, I'd probably say minimum 100. Minimum 100. If you can get over 100, awesome. If you end up hitting 130, 120, whatever it is, awesome. But every single day over 100. If we know then that we've like fallen in that optimal range, if 96 was technically optimal, we know if we're over 100, sweet, we're in that optimal range every day. Happy days. If you are a beginner and you've maybe dabbled in this a bit and you're like, I struggle to hit protein, just know it is by far the most common thing that beginners struggle with, hands down. If someone, this is probably a way to decipher if you're beginner or advanced as well. When girls become advanced, this is usually not an issue. They've just created the habits. They've just got the lifestyle in place. If anything, people are like, oh, I get too much protein. Super common when I get on a call with someone who's quite advanced. They've been eating for a while. I'm like, do you struggle with protein? No, 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 all good. Like I hit 140, 150. But coming back to the beginners, if you do struggle with that, just know you are not alone. Very common. But if we can bring it back to that minimum range, that's awesome. Somebody did ask, like, how much we should aim for per kilo of body weight if there's a lot of weight to lose. One thing I want to point out here, guys, and I probably should have said this at the start, and if you've been in an Eat Like Ruby program before, you absolutely would have heard this. I've probably said it on the podcast too, but there is no right and wrong with nutrition. It's not like it's right to hit 100 grams, and if you hit 90, you are wrong. That's what we need to really keep in mind, because I think even as these questions started to come through, it's even just the wording of questions when it's like, how much do I have to have? What time do I have to eat? What is the maximum amount of time I can be in a deficit? Like all of these things came up. And what we just have to realize here is, like I said, there's no right or wrong. The cops are not going to show up at your house and be like, you're supposed to have 100 grams of protein and you had 90. Like it's actually not a right and wrong thing. It's an optimal and then not so optimal thing. We often see people in nutrition get into that mindset of like hoping, like hopefully I can have a good week. Hopefully I can get a result. Like what I often see here is this all ties in together where people aren't doing the most optimal thing. Like they're falling further and further away from those optimal numbers. And then they're sort of like, hopefully I can have a good week. Hopefully I can get a result. And if we tie all this in together, it's like there's no right or wrong. There's just optimal and not optimal. It's on you to decide if you are going to hit those optimal things or you are not. If you don't, like I said, the cops aren't coming. I'm not coming. No one actually cares. And this is the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize. Nobody else cares if you hit your nutrition requirements today or not, except you. You're the one who's getting the result. You're the one who's investing, maybe investing in the program or the coach or the thing. You're the one who's putting time and money and energy into wanting a specific result. And then we, you know, over here we want the result, but then over here we're like, oh, you know, I'm not going to hit that and that's hard, so I'm not going to do that and whatever. But then over here it's like, hopefully I get the result. What am I doing wrong? Rah, rah, rah. If we piece all that together, it's like you're not doing anything wrong. You've just decided to stray further and further and further from the optimal. So I would just, that was such a side note to the protein piece, by the way. But if you can relate to that, really just tap in and be like, yeah, you know what? It actually, it's not a rule. Like no one's policing this. But if I do want a certain result, if I am aiming towards something, if I am, even coming back to what I said at the start, if I am somewhat down and out, my mental health, my emotional health isn't doing too good, I'm feeling quite shitty about my nutrition, my results, whatever, am I doing the things that I'm being told are the most optimal to make the progress that I want to make? So, side note, but she's back. Obviously, like we said, calories are king overall. Next thing we really want to look at is protein. Next thing we want to look at is fiber. And I would say hands down, like I've been a nutritionist for like 6 years, whatever it is, absolutely the three things that I think are stopping people from getting the results that they want is a lack of calorie control, a lack of sufficient protein intake, and a lack of sufficient fiber intake. I think if you can design days of eating that you enjoy that tick those three boxes, you are set. You are actually set. Like that is it. That is all it is. If you take nothing else from me, from the podcast, from Eat Like Ruby, manage your calories, get enough protein, get enough fiber. The end. We could actually just wrap up the podcast forever right there. On the same note, like I said with the protein, protein and fiber are definitely the things people struggle to hit. Like when they start actively working towards nutrition targets, they always struggle to hit protein and fiber. So if you can relate to that, like I said before, you are so not alone. It is very common. And usually the calorie piece, like a lack of managing calories and monitoring your energy balance, is a lack of education. It's a lack of really understanding that concept of energy balance and then what actually makes up your calories. And it often comes back to, like we've spoken about in earlier episodes, where people, you know, think they're, air quote, eating good, I'm eating healthy, all of the things, but you're actually not aware of how much calories, how much energy is coming in, how much is going out. Like, you haven't really learned about that balance. So with fiber, for sort of ease, like the sake of keeping things simple and easy, I usually advise about 8 grams per 500 calories. So let's say you're on a 1500 calorie diet, 24 grams of fiber. If you're on a 2000 calorie diet, 32 grams of fiber. These will always be like ranges and requirements. And especially if you're in an Eat Like Ruby program, you will know this. Like, we get given the minimum protein requirement, the minimum dietary fat requirement. We take the fiber range. So for example, like if your fiber is 24 grams, usually I'll say to people, like, we want to be 5 grams either side, let's say. So between 20 and 30. And this is the thing we want to look at. It's not like, oh, my fiber is 24. I need to hit exactly 24 grams every single day. Again, otherwise the cops are showing up. It's all hell's going to break loose. Like, that's not the thing. If we think about it, if the target is 24 and we fall in that 20 to 30 gram range on a daily basis, so consistently, like, that is it. That is what we need. And I'm going to speak to it in a second. A few people asked about, like, moving away from tracking and, like, do we track these numbers all the time and that. So I'm going to speak about that towards the end of this episode. But I always want to remind people, like, I'll never set specific macro targets, like 261 grams of carbs, 27 grams of fiber, and hit all these exact numbers. I will always give minimum requirements and ranges, and then we can really find the sweet spot, and it'll make a little bit more sense when I talk about moving away from tracking. So the main reason that we want to be consistent with our fiber is for digestion. So fiber will absolutely be the driving force behind regularly going to the toilet, honestly, for lack of a better description. And if somebody has really low fiber, obviously that's not good. Like, we want to be able to go to the toilet. We want to have good functioning digestion. And I spoke about this in the episode with my mum, where especially as people get older and we're looking at things like bowel cancer, colonoscopies, digestion, like can't go to the toilet, constipation, all of those things, which can absolutely happen for younger people, but it tends to be more common as people age. We want to avoid all of that. Absolutely. Like, we want to just be in that position where digestion is good. We can go to the toilet, happy days, everything's running smoothly there. And that's probably the thing. I think a few people ask that, can you have too much or too little fiber or whatever? You always want to be like hitting that minimum sort of requirement. Like we said, if it was in the 20s, we don't want to go under 20. Like, we want to make sure it's sufficient every day. If you go over fiber, there's nothing technically wrong with that. And I'm going to try not to spend too much time on this because I could, but there's nothing too wrong with it. If digestion is good, if you're not feeling bloated, like sluggish, crampy, if you're not going to the toilet a lot or can't go to the toilet much, like if there's no irregular occurrence there, if you are genuinely physically feeling good and your fiber is a bit higher than the recommendations or the average, that is totally fine. Some people can just naturally have a bit more and feel good. If you are suffering any of those things, have a look at your fiber. And if it is really high, just have a look, like, could you scale it down a bit? And what can happen there is, I'm really mindful not to tell people to scale it back too much because we want to make sure we get enough. But if somebody is, especially as somebody moves on to higher calories, if somebody is on quite a high calorie intake, but they're very adamant on, you know, air quotes, eating clean and healthy, if you've got, let's say, like a 2000, maybe a 2200 calorie day, and you're just filling it with bulk fruit and veg and like grains, oats, brown rice, all of those things, that's a fucking lot of food. Like, it is a lot of food. And this is what tends to happen is, I'm getting quite off topic, and this could even be a bit more of an advanced thing. As we move away from a deficit and we go on to higher calories, if somebody is under the belief that, like, they can't include any, you know, quote, bad foods, and they're trying to hit these big high calorie targets with all of these high volume, low calorie foods, it's so much food. So this is where the fiber can come in. Like, often you would look then and your fiber might be like up in the 40s and you're quite full, you're quite bloated, like you're just not feeling good because there's so much food in your system. Like the mass in your stomach is a lot. So often if we find like we're having a lot, usually these people are suffering like a bit of bloat, like because there actually just is so much food sitting in your stomach. So of course your stomach's going to be like bulging out. So you're feeling quite full. And it can often go one of two ways. It's a bit weird where you might not be able to get off the toilet because there's so much fiber coming in, coming out. But also it can actually lead to a little bit of constipation for some people because there's just too much happening. Like you've just filled the system and the system is not just running smoothly, like food and fiber coming in and coming out. It's just like, fuck, there's a lot here. We can't get it out. Like it's just not regular. It's not smooth. So I hope that wasn't too gross and I hope that made sense. So those are sort of what I would say to be like the beginner things to look for is managing calories, managing fiber and making sure you get enough protein in. If we can nail those things on a consistent basis, like I said, that is such a game changer. If you are somebody who struggles with those things, like I don't know how to hit protein, I don't know how to manage my calories, I don't know how to include fiber and like tick all the boxes and make all of that work together, this is what comes back to what I said at the start is investing a little bit in finding out. You want to get enough education to be able to plan these sorts of meals and these days of eating for yourself. And then you want to have either the skill and the ability to plan simple meals like that for yourself that tick all those boxes, or have some resources. Like when people join Eat Like Ruby programs, when people buy Eat Like Ruby products, this is literally what we base it around. It's like, how can we include simple meals that tick so many of these boxes and are easy for people and work towards their targets, fit in with their days, like literally tick all of the boxes in terms of nutrition requirements, but also lifestyle requirements. If you're busy, if you've got kids, if you've got a full-time job, like all of these things, having knowledge and almost like resources, like a library of simple meals that you know just work for you and work for your day and really help you hit all of these targets quite easily. Again, that is the game changer. If we think about the lack of control and the lack of confidence and the lack of education and all of that, the more you can build those things and have, like I said, it's literally like a little library. I would say any Eat Like Ruby girl listening to this has their go-to meals. Like you might have 10, 20, 15, I don't know, meals that you just naturally eat most days and they're just simple meals. They tick so many boxes. They're enjoyable. They're flexible enough that you've made them super enjoyable for you. And it just works because you've invested in the education and the resources to know how to make it work. There was a few questions about moving to maintenance, life after a deficit. Some people said how to be successful at maintenance. Do we have to track all the time at maintenance? So just that whole kind of thing. There's always the question, and that a few people have asked it here, is it better to slowly up calories or move straight to maintenance? So this is such a common question, but when we think about it, it's when we really pull it apart, the answer is quite clear as day. So often people do have that belief that we need to slowly increase calories. And you might have heard this referred to as like the reverse diet. So if you don't know what we're talking about, let's say a person achieved fat loss on 1500 calories. We calculate their maintenance to be 2000. They then are like, okay, do I go straight to 2000 calories right now? Or do I do 1600 for a week, 1700 for a week, 1800 for a week, and gradually creep it up, aka reverse out of my diet? I'm not a fan of the reverse diet at all. When we think about this, like I said, it's quite clear as day. People have this weird belief there that's like, if I go straight to maintenance, I'm going to gain weight. If it's maintenance, you're not going to gain weight. The end. Like it's maintenance. You're going to maintain. So if you think that, really pull that apart a little bit and be like, why do I think that moving to my maintenance intake is going to result in weight gain? Because there's definitely a disconnect there. And what I will point out here is if you are someone that's done that, let's use that example, you've gone from 1500 to 2000 and you've seen the scale increase, this is where we have to be so clear and in the right mindset of like, what am I trying to maintain? Am I trying to maintain weight or am I trying to maintain body composition? Because these are going to be two very different things in this scenario. If we do go from 1500 to 2000, of course the scale is going to add up or go up, because you've put more food in the system. If you stood on your scale and held an extra 500 calories worth of food in your hands, the weight would be higher. You've actually got that mass, that volume, sitting in your stomach now, the same way you'd have it sitting in your hands. So this is what we need to think about. And if we get a little bit more technical, like the more carbohydrates we eat, the more fluid the body will hold on to in the muscle cells, so we'll hold on to more muscle glycogen. And this is where, like we said, that difference between maintaining weight and maintaining body composition is so important, because the scale will go up because there's more food and more fluid in the system. Usually this results in a better looking body. If we think about this, if a person has dropped body fat, like they've had the successful deficit on 1500, they've dropped the body fat, they're nice and lean, they're nice and, you know, air quotes, toned, they then go to 2000 calories. They have more food mass in the system. The higher carbohydrate intake is pulling more muscle glycogen into the muscle cell. If a person is quite lean and has quite a low body fat percentage because they've had a successful deficit, and we fill a muscle with more fluid, that muscle gets a little bit of a pump up, if we want to. If you think about that, like the muscle's a little bit bigger, it's full, it's a nice juicy muscle. You've got a low body fat level sitting on top of that muscle. This is literally how we look toned. This is how a person looks toned, because there's a nice juicy muscle sitting there. And I'm not talking about like a bulging muscle. Like if you're a person that dieted on 1500 and is maintaining on 2000, you're probably going to be around my size. Like we're not Arnold Schwarzenegger muscles. They're little nice looking muscles. So if we then just give them that glycogen and that fluid and we just give them that little pump up and we're quite lean on top, it looks awesome. If we then look at the scale, of course that's going to go up. Like the body's holding onto more fluid in the muscle. There's the more food mass in the system. So you might be half a kilo to a kilo up on the scale. But really, if we look at a photo or we look in the mirror or whatever, you're looking significantly better. And even if we think about this, if you're someone who's heard much about bodybuilding or that sort of world, this is often why people will like carb load into an event. They've done the work, they've dropped the weight, they're super shredded. Like their body fat level is not going to change in the next 2 days, but they pump up the carbs, they blow up those muscles, and then that low body fat level on those muscles is actually the look that most people want. So this is where, like, coming back to the reverse diet thing, often people will say, if we make that jump from 1500 to 2000, and then you're like, oh shit, the scale went up like 500 grams, whatever. And that can often trigger people to be like, shit, fuck, drop the calories, back to the deficit, I didn't lose enough weight, like big spiral. And this is where the lack of education piece comes in, because it's like, if you understand that concept that I just explained, you can be like, okay, cool, it actually makes sense that I've gained weight, air quote, you know, technically the scale's gone up, but we look at pictures, we look in the mirror, things are looking good, whatever. What we then want to think about there is, if we do that and we have that initial jump up from the increased fluid, from the increased food, we're then staying on 2000 calories. That becomes the new normal. Like holding onto that fluid is now just normal. Holding onto that amount of food mass is now normal, because we're pumping in 2000 calories into the body every single day. So even though we had that initial jump up of half a kilo or a kilo or whatever, very quickly we will then hang there. We're not going to go up half a kilo today and then the next day and then the next day and then the next day until we've put on 8 kilos in 2 weeks. Like it actually doesn't happen like that. One more little side note, I don't want to get too confusing, but I feel like this is such a great chance to really explain this to people. A kilo of fat is 7,700 calories. So for a person to put on 1 kilo of fat, you have to have an additional 7,700 calories that the body doesn't use and it stores. So when we think about this, if we've added 500 calories to our day and we've gone to maintenance, and that is actually our maintenance, like maintenance means the body is using that amount of food or that amount of energy. So you're giving it the amount that it needs to actually just put it to use. There's no energy gap either side. To put on a kilo of fat is 7,700 calories. You're not giving the body even one additional calorie to store. Like you're giving it the amount that it needs to maintain. So it's going to stand still in terms of body fat percentage. So coming back to the reverse diet, again, she's so off topic today, but I hope this is all tying in. And I hope this is just really explaining it to people. This is just what I really want to get across. We've had the successful diet. We go to maintenance. We see that initial increase on the scale. Hold there for a week or two. It will level out. Let's say for me, you know, my weight is around 60. I increase calories. I get on the scale. I'm seeing like high 60s to 61. It might hang around that 61 mark, give or take, for a while. But then all of a sudden, if you've been consistent with the nutrition, in 3 weeks' time, you're still hanging around that 61 mark. That is maintenance. And this is the one last little thing I'll say about maintenance is I think often people think like, oh, if I got to like 59 kilos and then I go to maintenance, I'm going to weigh 59 kilos every single day. And it's like, we know so many things affect scale weight. We know fluid, digestion, going to the toilet, all of these things are going to affect the actual scale weight. So maintenance is always going to be a little bit of a range. So if we think about that scenario I just said, we move to maintenance, we see that initial little spike, we then hang there. If we're really consistent with nutrition and training and energy and all of those things and nothing changes, often you'll probably see that scale go into the 60s some days, into the 61s some days, back to the 60s. Maybe you'll even hit 62, but then it comes back to 61, mid-60s, mid-61s, all of these things. But then we step back over 2 months and it's like weight has literally just moved between 60 and 62 back and forth for 8 weeks. That is maintenance. If we think about like a surplus, the scale would go 61 and then 61.5 and then 62 and then 62.5, 63, 64, 65. When we look back over 8 weeks, you've gone from 60 to 65 kilos. You are clearly not maintaining, you are gaining weight. On the flip side, if we're in a deficit and the scale is 60 and then we see the 59s, we gradually see the 58s, 57s, whatever. Step back over 8 weeks, you're not maintaining. You've gone from 60 to 56. Of course, you're losing weight. There's a clear evidence here that weight loss is occurring. So again, if we look at that maintenance pattern, yes, it might shift a little bit day to day, but this is where we really want to step back and watch that overall trend. And if you can see that it's literally just bouncing between a 1 to 2 kilo range over 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, that is maintenance. So to answer the question that someone asked 2 years ago, I do not reverse diet. I go straight to maintenance and then you literally just assess and adjust from there. If you did that and you were seeing that clear pattern of like 61, 62, 63, 64, like you can clearly step back and be like, oi, I'm not maintaining, I'm gaining. Adjust. On the flip side, if you move to maintenance and then you see like, oi, I'm actually still losing weight. It's been a few weeks and the scale is still dropping. Again, you haven't found maintenance and you can just adjust. I think that's probably one other little side note is that people get so like, shit, what's the answer? What's right? What's wrong? It's like, make the move, do the thing, assess, adjust. So the last little thing I'm going to speak about today is moving away from tracking. And I feel like this starts to become an advanced thing because I personally don't advise doing this until you've learned the basics. I think unless there's actually a legitimate reason, like an eating disorder or something, where tracking nutrition is not going to be beneficial, like I would absolutely acknowledge that. But if that's not the case for you, I think it is so worth everybody having a period where they do track nutrition just to learn enough, just to learn the basics. Like I said at the start, we're going to be eating forever. We want to have enough education to feel good about that. I think when people start tracking their food, so often they're just like, shit, I had no idea how many calories are in that, or I had no idea how much I actually am overeating, how much I might be under eating. Like, there's so many things. Protein is the big one that comes up here where people are like, shit, I didn't realize how little protein I eat until I start tracking my food. So I think you absolutely should have that phase to get enough education. And this is, again, probably where the beginner and advanced thing comes in, where people then just can have that discernment and say, okay, cool, I'm very much a gym junkie. Nutrition and training are a high priority to me. It just makes sense that I'll keep tracking. I love it. I track my workouts. I track my food. I track all the things. I tie it all in together. I'm going to keep going high level, long term, all of that. Or like I said, on the flip side, you're like, okay, cool, I don't love this and I'm going to move away from it. That's equally perfect. There's no right or wrong with that either. And I think we've spoken about that so much on the potty, so I'm not going to get into that. But I think everybody wants to have that initial phase where you just learn enough. So when it comes to moving away from tracking, I feel like I could talk about this for so long. So I'll see if I can keep it brief. We do not track our food to hit perfect numbers. And this is exactly why I do not give exact macro targets. If you've got exact macro targets, like we said before, 261 grams of carbs, 27 grams of fiber, whatever. Anytime you are in a scenario that you can't track your food, you actually can't hit those. You don't know if you can hit those. And it's essentially a fail. If you've developed the belief that a right, you know, air quote, right day or good day of eating is to hit these exact numbers, and then you're in a situation where you can't hit exact numbers, how can you have a good day? How can it be successful? Because you've deemed successful to almost be perfect, really, when we think about it. So this is why I don't give exact numbers. If we have like a minimum protein requirement, if we have like a certain amount of fiber that we want to aim for, a person can track their food for a while, start to see what foods actually help me hit protein, what foods help me hit fiber. When I eat these meals and this meal and whatever, how does that add up in terms of calories? If we then have a day that's untracked, whether we're going out for tea or we're on holiday or we're actually moving away from tracking, like I said before, we don't track our food for the sake of hitting perfect numbers. We do it so we can start to learn like, what are good portion sizes for me? What foods actually do help me hit protein? What foods do help me hit fiber? Have I logged in MyFitnessPal and then been like, fuck, that's a lot of calories, didn't realize. We want to take all of those learnings and just apply them to our everyday life. When you're tracking your food, you're going to start to realize like, okay, I probably can't eat a whole pizza today and still tick all the boxes. When you're not tracking your food, you still can't eat a whole fucking pizza if you want to tick the boxes. That's actually it. This is what we need to start seeing is like, we want to get that education and those habits from tracking. And then just when we go into a day of not tracking, be like, okay, cool. What do I normally eat? Where do I draw the line? If I am eating out and I'm tracking, where do I draw the line? If I want to get similar results, I need to draw the same line. If I get up and make sure that my breakfast has a decent amount of protein and a serve of fruit, if I'm not tracking my food, wake up and say, what can I eat today based on my education from tracking that I know is going to tick off some protein and a serve of fruit? And this is where it ties in with you not having exact targets, because the mindset does not have to be, how do I hit 123 grams of protein today? It's how do I get enough protein today? Same with fiber. If we've been like forced to work towards this exact number, if we're then not tracking and we're just trying to eat enough fruit and veggies, we're in that mindset of like, well, fuck, I need to hit 27 grams. It's like, no, I don't. I just need to eat enough fruit and veggies. So I need to start looking at my day and being like, did I have some fruit with brekkie? Oh, no, I didn't. Shit. Okay, cool. I have fruit at morning tea. It's actually not rocket science. And I think the exact numbers in the exact targets is what can make people think like, to be, you know, good, I need to track. And if I'm not tracking, I'm not good. So how do I ever move away from tracking? And this is where I think having the ranges and the minimum requirements, you can carry those into your everyday life. Even if it's not the exact number, like, you know, if my minimum protein is 100, you're not going to know if you've hit exactly 100 grams of protein. But if you think to yourself, when I am tracking and I do hit my 100 grams of protein, I have 2 eggs, a yogurt, 2 serves of meat. Today, now that I'm not tracking, I'm going to have 2 eggs, a yogurt, 2 serves of meat. Whether that's a salad, whether that's a stir fry, whether it's like fruit and yogurt, it's Nutella and yogurt, it's eggs on toast, it's scrambled eggs, it's an omelet, whatever. Like this is where the flexible element comes in. But learning what foods should be included in your day, learning the rough amounts of those foods that work for you, you can just take that info, apply it every day for the rest of your life because we're going to be eating for the rest of our life and see how everything just ties in. We've gone full circle. So I think that is a great place to wrap up this episode. I hope this was educational. That was really what I wanted, is to just try and cover all of those things. Like we said, there's so many questions, there's so many things, but as we can see, so much of it ties in together. And I think the biggest takeaway here is just making sure, or putting yourself in a position where you can learn enough to suit you, whether you are advanced and you love it and you want to keep learning about nutrition for life, that's all good. Reach out to me. I've got you. I love that. But equally, if that's not you, like we said, work out what it is that you need to have good nutrition, education, habits, understanding, all of the things to support good mental health, good physical health, good emotional health, and just literally have you feeling good about the fact that you're going to be eating for the rest of your life. So if you liked this episode, like I said at the start, guys, take the screenshot, put it on your stories. I want to see them. I want to share them. I think this episode especially now could be so helpful to so many people. So I would love to see it. And like I said, I'm going to roll straight into the Nutrition for Advanced. So make sure you check out next week's episode as it's just going to keep flowing on from this one.